This episode of the show is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook of your choosing by going to audibletrial.com/missspots. Choose from over 180,000 different titles, such as Chris Jericho's latest book, No is a Four-Letter Word. It's even narrated by the man himself. Audiobooks are perfect for the person on the move. Believe me, they're great. Maybe you want a mystery novel or a biography of someone you love. Audible has it all. Plus, it's free to try. If you don't like it, which would be weird, cancel and keep your free audiobook that you downloaded forever. Go try it now at audibletrial.com/missspots. Audible. Listening is the new reading.
This Sunday on the WWE Network is Extreme Rules, the one night of the year that WWE goes extreme. Well, I mean, except for, you know, Hell in a Cell, which happens every year, and TLC as well, obviously, and well, there's Elimination Chamber is pretty extreme, I'd say, and I mean, Stomping Grounds this year had a cage match, which I mean, that's an extreme match. And you know, come to think of it, pretty much every episode of Raw and SmackDown has a triple threat match of some kind, and those are basically anything goes because it's no disqualification. I mean, you see chairs and tables and things used in every one of those matches, but anyway, extreme.
This and a lot more about a pay-per-view we're not that interested in, coming up on the Miss Spots podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a free event!
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
So, Extreme Rules, a couple weeks ago, more than a couple weeks ago, we had, they had Raw, and like, oh, we're going to be in Philadelphia for Extreme Rules. I live in Philadelphia. I'm about, oh, by public transportation, 15 minutes away from the Wells Fargo Center where this card is taking place at. I was like, maybe. And my fiance was like, do you want to go? I was like, I don't know, maybe. And then the first thing on that episode of Raw was they booked Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch versus Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. And I was like, yeah, I'll just watch from home. There is some good things about this card. We'll talk about it later, but it's still kind of along the lines of Stomping Grounds to be like, yeah, we're not that interested.
Oh, no doubt. This is not a well set up pay per view in any way, shape, or form. There are some things that are happening on WWE television proper English is important, that are getting a little bit better. I particularly thought that SmackDown had a pretty good show this week. And I have not been able to say that in a while. I thought Raw was still a big mixed bag when it came to pretty much everything, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There are some things happening that definitely seem to be focusing the product a little bit more, but you still have a bunch of matches that really aren't good, that don't feature people that have any heat or any real crowd reaction to them whatsoever. And a lot of rematches, a lot of thrown together things at the last minute, a lot of feuds that haven't really been built and only were built over the last 2 weeks. And I think that you're always going to suffer in that situation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And just with this, like, now that the, without being said, the brand extension is donezo, we're seeing people all over the place on different shows. It is just bizarre now that main storylines for the SmackDown women's title is taking place on Raw. When you have so much weird crossover like this between two brands that have their own specific wrestlers, despite that they can be on whatever show they want to be in any given week. It's just so hard to follow and stay attentive.
Well, I think the big thing that we're missing in this, and I was thinking about this during Raw this week, is why do we have a SmackDown and Raw Women's Champion? There's no difference. They show up on each other's shows constantly. The angles are done on both shows. Why do we have two women's champions? There's no reason for it. There's no reason to have a Raw and SmackDown tag team men's championship. So there's no reason to have a Universal and a WWE champion. I hated this back in the, you know, early 2000s when they brought back the basically the WCW championship and had two world champions. Yeah. I hated that. And I just think it's a very bizarre and silly way to book professional wrestling. When now if you have a brand split and you are the champion of your show, I'm still not a huge fan of that, but okay, at least there's some logic there. Right now, there's just no logic to any of this. Everything is a secondary title because nothing's really that important or that special. And that's one of the problems with them booking the shows the way they have and trying to get all their top talent on both shows. It's too much. It's overkill. Too many champions. I mean, look at this. On any episode of Raw, you can see what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10-ish champions. Right?
And we're seeing the NXT tag team champions now, two Raws in a row.
Okay, 11. Okay, 11. it's a little ridiculous. But listen, when it comes to Raw, for the second week in a row, we started with a match. That was good. Right? But this week, they cannot give without taking something away. They give us a match to start the show. It's a match involving a mixed tag match.
Uh-huh.
Every time a mixed tag match happens, I go out of my way to say there has never been a good mixed tag match. And I'm really even talking about Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania a couple years ago. She was impressive. I still didn't think it was that good of a match, but I'm way in the minority on that. But they're garbage matches with no flow, no nothing. They're just bad. Throw on top of that they book this as an elimination mixed tag match. What the fuck does that mean? How? So it's just a match back to back with another person standing on the apron?
It's so dumb. In theory, you could have a draw in this match.
Yeah.
I would feel like
of course,
if Becky were to eliminate Zelina and then Andrade beats Seth, you technically have a tie.
Yeah,
I would think
it's so stupid. It's such a dumb idea. That how did someone in the back not put their hand up and go, hey guys, this doesn't make any goddamn sense.
The men don't fight the women, like because you are eliminating yourself by winning in that match. It's just
nonsense. It's just pure nonsense. The champions go over. That is the it. We started with a wrestling match. Started with a wrestling match. That's an up. It's the dumbest match you can imagine. That's two downs. The champions go over. That's an up. So I guess we're even to start off the show.
I guess that's one way of starting. It's better than starting on a down, I guess,
yeah,
overall.
Very true. And the other thing that I was thinking about, because this segment kind of ended with Paul Heyman marching out to the ring. And once again, announcing that Brock is going to club. I don't give one flying fuck about Brock Lesnar. Not one. I don't care about him. I don't care about any angle he's involved in. It is boring. It is repetitive. And having him holding the briefcase means nothing.
It
means nothing.
It is amazing to me how much effort they are going to remind us that Brock Lesnar exists while holding a briefcase, despite he pretty much was the champion for collectively about 2 years, and they never went to any extent on reminding us that he was the champion, like the pretty much the 1A champion of the entire company over lengths of time when he would be off TV. They're putting more effort into this briefcase than the main championship. It's ridiculous.
Listen, I don't. If they've gotta do something, I guess, to make sure that it's still fresh in the people's minds. But you can play this off as Paul Heyman and Brock playing mind games. They've now announced three times that he's gonna cash in. You know, I'm not gonna boo Brock more because of that. I'm just gonna tune out because it wasn't to build heat. It was to try to pop ratings.
Yeah,
it was to try to get buys. It was to try to get people to tune in.
It was bait and switch tactics.
Yeah, that's all it was, and it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing bait and switch promotion.
And what is crazy,
which is so transparent.
I feel like we've talked about this before, is why do they need to keep this fresh in our minds? It's better if it fades away, and then when he comes back to actually cash it in and it's a surprise, that's the bigger deal. That's when you can tell people, ha, look what you missed. Like, I get it. I guess to a point, it's ratings. You want those people tuning in and you're desperate for those numbers. But God, like, show your desperation even more. I can't see it enough, apparently.
Yeah, there's no way that I want to see Brock Lesnar holding that title again, and I don't want to see him cash in. I just want to see him go away, and that's where I am at this point. I was perplexed by Bob Lash and Rey Mysterio.
As was I.
Rey was gone for a cup of coffee. I mean, he was
6 weeks. He said,
"Yeah, it seems like he was just on the show 2 weeks ago." And maybe because Samoa Joe already dropped the U.S. championship or something. But the fact that he was gone for such a short time, comes back, gets some mic time to say, I'm back and I defied all the doctors. They thought I was going to be gone for 4 years or whatever he said.
And that was like...
Yeah, but basically I twisted my ankle, I'm back. And then to get destroyed, jobber style basically... by Bob Lash.
He got in a little offense, but yeah he was put away was 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Extended squash would probably be the way I would describe that.
Yeah.
Bob Lash got put through the staging, whatever you want to call it, the LED board. Braun has not shown up since. Braun was the one doing the knocking over into.
Bob Lash was the recipient.
Yes.
Of that.
Yeah. Now they both went through it. They both should be hurting. That's fine. But the fact that Bob Lash gets bad promo time in a doctor's office where he says he's going to murder somebody.
The day after it happened last week.
And we still haven't seen Braun, and Bob Lash shows up to fight Rey Mysterio. It's just kind of strange. It's not bad. It's just strange.
Yeah.
Having him come out and beat somebody up, okay, cool, I guess, but why Rey? Is that really going to get him over as a more dominant person? I don't think so. I just don't know who this serves.
You know, you have Mojo Rawley and No Way Jose and Hawkins and Ryder, people who you can have him beat up like that, and it's somewhat expected.
And the thing is, I think that you're looking at it going, well, Rey Mysterio is a legend, so him doing that is more impressive, and I just don't think it is. I don't really think this serves anyone well.
It's just really weirdly written to be like, okay, like this is a comeback story for this legend. He's setting an open challenge, and then he gets destroyed. I don't know who that, like you said, I don't know who that really serves well in the...
And it does not help that Bob Lash has the charisma of a lukewarm cup of milk. That does not help either. I was happy to see Cesaro continue some dominance over No Way Jose. It seemed like they were going somewhere with that, which it could simply be Cesaro being set up for what we saw on SmackDown. But I was like, oh, maybe we'll have a little feud with No Way Jose. He can't beat Cesaro. He shouldn't beat Cesaro, but he tries to be a resilient babyface. And this goes on Raw for a few weeks. I like that. I like the continuation of that. I like the continuity. I'm all for it, even though we probably will never see it again because of what happened on SmackDown.
Yeah, and are you aware of this faction that Cesaro is in on Main Event?
No.
He is in a faction with EC3 and Robert Roode.
Really?
On Main Event, yeah. They form this, and it apparently only exists on that show.
The fact that there still is Main Event is just insane to me. It's insane. Here's something else that's insane. What in the hell? Let me be a little more dramatic. Are the NXT tag champs doing promos for Extreme Rules 4? What is the point of them? And what do they think this is going to accomplish? What the hell is going on?
They are pretty much... Here's what I think. They're YouTubers. That's what the gimmick looks like. They look like people on YouTube who give their opinions on things. And that's it. It is bizarre. Like, you can tell that these two guys have a ton of charisma, and I think that they could get over really well with the crowd. And I mean, they have in NXT, and there's people who could debate that, like, you could throw a dead fish into the ring and the NXT crowd will get that dead fish over. But this doesn't make any sense. They're pretty much just giving commentary on what is going on the show. Like you said, hyping up a pay-per-view. I don't know what the fuck I'm watching there.
I will agree with you that these guys have charisma. I have yet to be entertained. I don't find anything they've done to be funny, entertaining, or interesting. It's boring, repetitive, and really obnoxious. Not that these guys, as you said, don't have charisma and can't get over. I think they can. This is not the way to do it.
No.
It is so bad. And I just lost for words when it comes to that. Are the Vikings getting pushed again? Are we in that position where we now say, oh, they remember that they exist and now we're going to push them? Is that where we are?
They did that with AOP.
Like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
AOP got a push for a bit, squashing jobbers. Then they were off TV for a little bit. Then they came back squashing jobbers. They won the titles for a hot minute, lost them, and then were off TV again.
So this is what I have for the timeline of the Vikings. Beat jobbers, beat tag champs, non-title. Disappear, beat jobbers, lose pointless 8-person tag match, beat jobbers.
Yeah.
Is that a pretty accurate timeline?
Pretty accurate.
Is that what you do when you want to push somebody as a real threat and make them important and make the crowd give a shit?
Apparently to someone
would,
backstage
I
it
would
is.
Say no. I would say that is not a good plan of attack. But who am I to say?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Talk to me about Ricochet and AJ Styles. I didn't care for most of the segment because I don't
care for roll-ups and Gallows fighting Ricochet and Anderson fighting. It's, to me, this is just that perfect, oh, we're going to have this because we have to have a commercial break and we have to figure out a way to have wrestling in between both ones.
That's exactly what that is.
But overall, how are you feeling about this? The club together, all this stuff.
I dig that. And I dig that Ricochet's involved with this. My problem, I don't know if this is writing or this is Ricochet, but you say that Bob Lash has the charisma of a lukewarm cup of milk. Ricochet is only slightly cooler than that, or warmer, depending on which way you like your milk. That promo work that he was doing on Monday, even the week before, was not very good. And very monotone, very little like emotion shown. And maybe it is just the writing, that they're not writing stuff that he can like make believable.
And that's possible. It's possible that's not his gift. His gift is in-ring performance.
And, yeah. And I've seen a lot of people talking online that like this is always been Ricochet's like least strong suit. Is, I mean, when he was in Lucha Underground, and he was under a mask in Lucha Underground, they apparently didn't have him speak for the first 3 years that he was on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that Ricochet obviously has tons of talent. He's exciting to watch. Him and AJ have really good chemistry. I think they'll put out a good match. It's all good stuff.
Oh, yeah. And their in-ring chemistry is fantastic.
And I did like, even though I did not like the segment overall, I did like the end where, listen, stay down, I'll have mercy on you, and he gets back up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a sucker for that stuff. I'm a sucker for the resilient babyface saying, you know, I'm not going to take this. Mm-hmm. I thought it was done well the week before with Kofi, where Samoa Joe, shake my hand. I thought that was well done. So I'm a sucker for that. I thought that the end of it was good. And listen, I like heel AJ Styles. I like babyface AJ Styles a little better, but it gives Anderson and Gallows something to do. It looks like they re-signed contracts.
From what I've seen, they either have or are going to.
I mean, good for them. Obviously, that was what they thought was their best course of action. I just hope they continue to get used, because most likely they'll be on TV with AJ for 4 months, maybe, before they forget they exist again and AJ turns babyface. Yeah, that might be. But they'll be on with AJ in some capacity till they turn a babyface again, which I'm guessing 4 months is probably what they're going to do, because they have a hard time with babyface heel turns, especially with a guy named Kevin Owens, we'll talk about in a little bit. I'm very confused, because I was under the impression that we had Raw and SmackDown as separate entities. We know that's not the case anymore. But we had this basic minor league in NXT. Now, that is not to say that NXT doesn't put on a great product and put on oftentimes much better shows in the main roster, but they are the feeder system, so to speak. So you've got three brands, all fed through the WWE network in some way. But now I hear this thing that Evolve is the future of the WWE.
So
Evolve is now the feeder system of Raw, SmackDown, and NXT.
Are you at all familiar with Evolve?
I know very little about Evolve. But what I do know is that they've had a working agreement for a while. Mm-hmm. Tons of talent that is now on the WWE roster has gone through there. They've had exchanges of talent for different shows. It seems to me, obviously, that this is pushing back against AEW.
Exactly, because they're running also a show that night, too.
Exactly. And I get all that. But they are so heavy-handed with everything they do, and so blatant. If we're going to now start seeing Evolve shows on the network, where do they think people have the time to watch this? And if they can't book a consistent 2 or 3 hours on Monday or Tuesday night regularly without a lot of nonsense thrown in. How are they going to run this too? I mean, I know they're not running it, but it's just, you don't need more content.
Well, and you know, you were saying better content. You were saying three brands. There's technically five brands.
Oh, that's true.
Because 205 yeah. Live and NXT UK are brands as well. So, yeah, it really does create even more clutter inside of their umbrella. The thing that I thought was crazy, but I, you know what? It makes some sense in order to sell the event. They almost only showed WWE signed wrestlers in that promo, the ones who came through the system. I think I caught a couple shots of guys who are solely in Evolve right now. It was Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano and Matt Riddle and Apollo Crews and all these other guys who went through that promotion at some point in their careers, and almost nothing to do with the actual wrestlers for Evolve, who are an independent company who just have a working relationship with WWE. And there are, I'm looking at this card now, there are two matches that are completely WWE guys. You got Adam Cole and Akira Tozawa for the NXT Championship, and then Drew Gulak taking on Matt Riddle. And then it's all the rest are Evolve guys. But I think it's cool, and it's a great exposure point for a lot of these folks on Evolve. But yeah, you're muddying the waters a bit here.
It just seems so desperate. I all for exposure for that talent. I think that's a cool thing. I like the fact they have a working relationship. I like the fact that they're promoting the show, but the time that you're looking at right now, the way you're promoting it, the way you're talking about this, it seems to me that they're trying to set up this for the future, not just for this one show. That's my gut feeling on that. And I just think, just make your show not as bad.
It seems like such a simple thing.
It does. The worry it has to be in the inner circle is that, listen, AEW comes on the scene, they're not going to be competing on the same night.
No.
But people do have limited amounts of time. If they're going to start watching another wrestling product, maybe they stop watching WWE, or maybe they don't watch it as often, or maybe they don't go to as many events, maybe they don't buy as much merchandise. That's where that kind of competition comes in. And they have to be worried about it, or at least thinking about it. And it just seems that their response to this is to gobble up more bodies. Their response to this is to put on shows. I think it reeks of desperation and doesn't focus on what will actually keep that company healthy and pushing them towards new innovative things that are more likely to bury AEW if that's what they're looking to do, and obviously they are.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't love Raw this week, Mike. I didn't. It wasn't as overtly bad, but there was definitely some bad stuff. Hey, did you know that the Riot Squad broke up? Because I didn't.
Yes, I did know that.
Was that because of the brand split or something?
Because of the Superstar Shakeup.
Okay, so they broke up because of the Superstar Shakeup. Great.
That was like 3 months ago.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. So I forgot about that because the brand split doesn't exist anymore. But Bailey reminded me. Cool. And then Sarah Logan came out to the Riot Squad music.
She's been off TV for about 3 months, mm-hmm. and they couldn't get her new music.
Well, because you know that they didn't book her in this match until today. Well, not today. We're not recording this.
No, they probably did book it today in the future.
Yeah.
And so, they still didn't have that ability.
Overall, the Bayley and Alexa stuff, you know, Nikki
there
Cross.
There was no Alexa on TV this week.
Well, I'm saying the storyline that's going on.
I have it on good authority that Alexa was not on TV because she was getting steel chairs surgically implanted into her arms because it's Extreme Rules.
That very well could be it. I give Nikki Cross an A for effort. She is doing her best to sell this thing like crazy. She's just not getting a very good response from the crowd. And I kind of feel bad about that.
I think she's getting a decent response.
We had CM Punk chants at one point on Raw or SmackDown.
And there was a what chant when she was talking to. So, yeah, touche on that. But so there was that match. She was taking on the, okay, first of all, beat the clock challenge. Always stupid because it pretty much is a given almost all the time that the person is going to beat the other person. The person who needs to beat the clock is going to beat the other person. I think only less than a handful of times it has gone the other way. But
I'll do you one better. It's a given that both the people that are in there are going to win their matches. Why would that be the case?
And Michael Cole pretty much said so. And I can't remember his exact wording, but he pretty much said, like, Nikki's only got a few minutes left to win. Like, to win, like, I don't know. Just, I would have to go back to get the exact wording, but it sounded a lot worse than what I know you could say what I just said. Oh, yeah, she needs to win. But I hate that it's practically a given. Also, Dana Brooke, who is apparently the babyface in that match, avoiding the match and high-fiving with Bayley, like, look it, I'm running out the clock so that you like, that was all so heelish. To be like avoiding it in order to try to help the other person win.
Yeah, Dana Brooke also is such a, I mean, I guess tweener in some sense. I mean, she's never really officially turned babyface. She never shows up on TV. Using her and Sarah Logan in this in and of itself is one of those things like, oh, of course they're going to lose. Right. Well, now we know they're going to lose because of the beat the clock challenge because the people always win. This is hey, you want to talk about things that would make your product seem more real, like a real combat sport? Book a beat the clock challenge and have Bayley lose. No, actually don't. Have Nikki lose, right? The first one. And say, well, now we don't need a second match.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that would happen if this was not predetermined. And if you throw in those little curveballs from time to time, now I know that wouldn't serve the storyline. Whatever they did is whatever they did. Fine. But at some point in the future, do that. It's like when you book a 2 out of 3 falls and have someone win the first 2 falls. That's smart.
Yeah.
We don't need as many 2 out of 3 falls matches that they keep booking.
That's writing outside of the box. Yeah. You don't have to follow some specific guidelines to write a wrestling story. You can get weird every once in a while and break from tradition.
Yeah, I just think that's one thing that they just never think to do, or maybe they do think to do it and they think that would be stupid. I don't know. But I like that stuff. I like the idea of booking a match that somehow doesn't happen and then we have someone go, well, we got to get a new match because this... we had this thing booked for this time slot and we now don't have that. That's the kind of thing we should see more often. If you're going to book stuff on the fly, that's the reason you should be booking stuff on the fly, not because it seems like you had nothing else booked for that segment. We got to talk, and this whole thing about Raw has gone long, but we got to talk about the last segment. I don't want to, but we have to talk about situations, angles, matches, main events that don't matter, didn't matter, will never matter. That was what we got. We got a dumb angle where Shane and Drew are picking out vendors and janitors to be Roman Reigns' tag team partner and conveniently say, oh, we'll get you a mask out there.
You're too ugly. Like, right.
I mean, oh, God, is that bad. The concept is not good. And then it's Cedric Alexander?
What?
Why? To what end? For what purpose? A guy who was drafted in the Superstar Shakeup who never showed up. I think maybe one match he had.
A match against Cesaro.
Yeah.
Lost. And he's been chasing around the 24/7 champion.
Yeah. To show up, is there any history between Roman Reigns and Cedric Alexander? No.
Nope.
Has he been on TV and featured in any way, shape, or form recently? No. Does he have any problem with Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon? No. Is this ever going to be mentioned again? Probably not. And honestly, at this point, for good reason. Was his unmasking, did it change anything?
No. He took the loss.
I mean,
he took
why?
A clean loss. If he were to have pinned Drew or Shane and to unmask and be like, oh, it's Cedric Alexander, it has more power then. Why? Still don't know. But he lost the match to unmask and be like, oh, shucks, I guess I gave it my best, Roman. And like, oh, good, no problem, little buddy. Fist bump. Like, I don't know what any of that was about.
It was about nothing. Seinfeld was a TV show about nothing. That was a segment about nothing.
Oh, Jesus. You know what's weird? I think I'm breaking away from what we were talking about for just a minute. So my internet was out for the past couple days, so I had to actually watch Raw on my phone using my data. So with that, I wasn't using my laptop to take notes. I was actually writing physical notes on pieces of paper. I want to do this more often because I actually like this more for taking notes for SmackDown. So now we'll get into talking about SmackDown. I have here, KO is a polite Canadian who honks his horn to let people know that he's behind them in a car. And Kevin Owens was the focal point of this show.
And he was predictably great.
Now, with this opening segment, a lot went on because we had the whole pre-recorded earlier in the day parking lot situation. Then we had KO taking over the show pretty much and getting cut off. And he's spewing truth left and right. He name dropped people who are missing out on spots on TV because of Shane taking up so much time. This is all fine and dandy, except I do really have an issue with this because this is scripted. This is WWE once again acknowledging we have a problem. We know that this is a problem. We're even going to have one of the wrestlers be your voice of reason, but we're just going to keep on fucking doing it anyway. And people eat it up that KO is out there being the voice of them, the voice of the voiceless, as CM Punk used to say. And it just pisses me off so much that, like, yeah, this is how we feel, but you don't care. You're not going to do anything about this. Shane is still going to probably be a focal point for the next 6 months or so. So it just
Mike, you are saying exactly how I feel about this, in the fact that, okay, I loved Kevin Owens doing everything he did because he
did
it well.
Yes, and I love what Kevin Owens was doing, his ability to do that.
What is the authority versus the babyface is the oldest, most tired garbage, and it is just never stops, and it will never stop because everything comes back to Austin and McMahon because it's the last time that anyone was proud to call themselves a wrestling fan. That's not true. I'm proud to call myself a wrestling fan sometimes, but it is so tired and played out, and I don't want to see it anymore. And as you said, I cannot stand when you're using the backstage stuff to try to get heat and a scripted storyline. It is so lazy and so pandery and so cheap. You want to talk about like a cheap pop or cheap heat? That's the cheapest heat you can imagine, because you're using all this real life stuff that we all know and we're all complaining about, and you're getting the fans excited about something maybe changing. When Kevin Owens talks about the McMahon standing in the ring and saying, "You're the authority," that is something that is you should be embarrassed about this. Right? You should be trying to actively, if you really want to make the product different, and we watched this. We watched that whole thing. Hashtag fresh start. We watched this whole thing and said, this will lead to nothing. And it didn't. It didn't. Nothing happened. It led to nothing. So you're watching this going, oh man, maybe this means that they get it. They understand that this is not what we want to see anymore. These exact points that Kevin Owens brings up. And the brand split still is dead. You're still not seeing half the people that we could be seeing on television. Shane McMahon still is on every show and will be, as you said. So it's such a false thing to do and will mean nothing in the long run. Unless this is the time, and this is finally the time where they start taking this stuff seriously and book these shows to get the demographic like you and I actually excited about the product again.
Yeah. This was followed up by Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura. A thing that on a match that on paper should be a major pay-per-view match with a title involved, and they just put it out there on SmackDown. We haven't seen Finn or Nakamura prominently featured in Nakamura in months, Finn in weeks, and he's the Intercontinental Champion, and they just throw it out there. They put on a decent match. There was some weird stuff. There's one point Nakamura threw Finn to the outside just to Kinshasa him on the outside, as if he wanted to take a count out victory. Weird. But he ends up cleanly beating Finn, the IC champion. There was no... Was there talk of having title implications at any point?
There wasn't. So this is mixed feelings for me. One, Tom Phillips called Nakamura the King of Strong Style.
Yes,
I know it's happened before, but I still think he came out as the artist, but
yeah.
King of Strong Style. That's awesome. And I did like the fact that you actually had these two guys, both of them, beat a 10 count. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that happen in so long. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. It was like they're actually counting to 10 because they never do that, really. The mm-hmm. guys are outside for 45 minutes and they go, one, you know, it's terrible. But yeah, but then you have to poke holes in the fact that why does Nakamura want I guess he just wants to win. It's not for the title. So I guess having a count-out victory is fine for him. He just wants to inflict pain. But you have the Intercontinental Champion lose. Why do your champions lose so often? And why can't you book them to be strong? Why can't you book an angle with Nakamura and Finn without starting with a pointless match on SmackDown?
And they
had that tough.
They had that talking head right before the match with Finn being like, Nakamura is trying to right his ship. He hasn't been himself, and he thinks that he can do it by beating me. Well, he's got another thing coming. Like your typical babyface type of shtick right there. I didn't expect it to act. And not that I don't want Nakamura to be a more prominent figure. And yeah, beating the champion does kind of make you that. But they could have had a double count out here and then started a feud for the two off of that. or a countout victory for Nakamura by him beating the 10 count and Finn falling just short, like not completely getting into the ring with it. And it has a little controversy, but the man to beat the champion clean, 1-2-3.
And this is a champion that is never featured on television.
Yeah.
I cannot remember who he won that title from. Was it Bob Lash?
Yes. I think so.
But even like I just pulled that as I started that sentence, I didn't remember. Like that is he's not been featured prominently. No, the title means nothing. His character has meant nothing for months. And he gets thrown onto a SmackDown match and loses. If you're going to have the champion lose a match, and even if it's for a non-title match, he should have some momentum before that. It should be shocking that he loses. I just continue to be dumbfounded by champions losing so many meaningless matches.
Yeah. Is it right for me to assume that Nikki Cross has power of attorney for Alexa Bliss to sign the contract for her?
I assume so.
I mean, that's some really in-depth writing there.
Nikki is also a notary, so she took care of all of that earlier this week.
You know what we didn't even talk about on Raw, how they're really heavy-handedly teasing that Sasha's going to come back for this.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, they are using the subtlety of a hammer to the head on this one. Can you tell me what the fuck is a tag title summit?
I don't know. This is that typical, we have a tag match coming up and now we've got to face each other in some order, some way, shape, or form for momentum.
I thought it was like
the
talking. Was it the talking segment or was it the match?
I don't know.
And oh man, like the talking. I have some notes here. I believe I've asked this before, but I want to ask it again. Are they wanting us to believe that Heavy Machinery are brothers? Because once again, Tucker called Otis little brother.
I don't take it that way. I will say this. I did not realize he was calling him Tucky.
Yeah.
It's been months, and I would say, why does he keep calling him Ducky? And as a big fan of Pretty in Pink, what's going on here? And I got it for the first time. I was like, oh, I understood a word that Otis Dozovic said. Good for me. Wait a minute. Bad for me. I don't like this. I don't like this team. I find them obnoxious and annoying.
He mumbles, groans, just makes noises, growls. And then he said that he is coming. Very loudly and very boisterously. Their blue collar solid catchphrase to me is just as worthless as Feel the Glow, but does make a little more sense.
I don't care for this, and I don't care for this team. It seems like they're starting to get over a little bit. People pop for that god awful caterpillar or whatever they call it. I try to look away.
He almost fell over.
Did he?
Doing that. Like when he got up like vertical after doing it to deliver the elbow drop, he wobbled a bit, like he almost fell, like tipped over, because he's very top heavy, in case you haven't noticed. But he's recovered.
He is everything heavy. What are you talking about? He's basically a solid block of wood, concrete maybe. The only great thing about this was Daniel Bryan putting
once again
over his challengers, putting over the New Day while knocking them down at the same time. Daniel Bryan, we need you. Put Daniel Bryan in the Shane McMahon role where he's on every segment, and I'll watch until that burns out.
Yeah, I would too. Cesaro versus Aleister Black. Yes. How we got here could have been better.
Oh, I'm 100% for this. I'm a big fan of these two guys getting in a ring together.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things where Aleister Black has to win this. Has to.
Yes.
So feel bad for Cesaro in this situation, but they'll put on a good match. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. I'm just glad that I don't have to hear any more, maybe, well, that's not true, for the time being, rambling, nonsensical promos from Aleister Black. If those go away forever, I'd be happy. If he beats Cesaro, then goes back into his room and waits for another knock on the door, maybe this time he wants someone to ring his doorbell or Skype him. I don't know. If they go back to that, then it's all is lost.
Yeah. Also, am I meant to believe that Cesaro just always walks around with his mouthpiece in?
I guess so.
He came in a suit with his mouthpiece in, took it out to speak, and then put it back in as he walked away.
Yeah. I do like the fact that Cesaro is, I do my talking in the ring. Yeah. And it's been pretty consistent. He's not saying that he's, this thing, you notice one thing, Otis and Tucker might be blue collar, strong, solid, whatever, and say it over and over again. Cesaro did say at one point, I do my talking in the ring, and now he just does his talking in the ring. We get it because he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to spout your catchphrase every 15 seconds.
And WWE are the ones who will say, like, oh, a catchphrase is over, not a person, too.
Of course.
So go figure. But they'll make you spout that catchphrase until death. And then the show finished off with this Roman versus Dolph. And the whole thing ended with KO stunning Shane. Roman wins. There was an interesting point when Shane was on commentary that he actually referred to Drew as his heater. He used a
I didn't hear
term,
that.
Yeah, he used a wrestling term or an insider term or backstage term very strangely. I thought that was weird that he just openly said that.
That is,
he's like, yeah, Drew's my heater.
Interesting. You know, I've been saying, I thought and hoped, didn't think, I hoped that Miz would be the person to make Shane go away because they had a perfectly set up storyline. Everything was ready. The dominoes just had, the first domino needed to be pushed over and everyone be happy. Then I realized, oh, it's going to be Roman Reigns, because of course it is. Roman's going to make Shane go away. They had to build Shane McMahon up to fight Roman Reigns for whatever god-awful reason. Now I'm like, oh, is it going to be KO that makes Shane McMahon go away in some way, shape, or form? Is Shane just going to feud with every member of the roster? Is that what we've come to? The rumors are he's going to be the person that takes the title off of Kofi Kingston. I know it's just a rumor, but would anyone be surprised if that was the case? I certainly wouldn't. I do not want to see Shane versus every baby face on the roster. I don't want to see him, Shane versus anyone, let alone, you know, it's mind-boggling to me.
I want to see Shane versus unemployment office. That's the only thing I want to see him take on. I don't know what to think about this. Like, this has been happening for months, is the multiple people that Shane McMahon is involved with at the same time. I know that you've said this ad nauseum, like, it can be done, but it's not being done right now. We are just being thrown Shane McMahon on every show, with Roman Reigns on every show, and then also Miz, and also Kevin Owens, and Dolph Ziggler's being thrown in there from time to time, The Revival from time to time, Sami Zayn used to be involved in this, Elias is involved in this, now The Undertaker is involved in all of this. I mean, you know what, just make Becky Lynch be involved in this, Seth, let's just go fucking all in on it, make everybody versus Shane. To the point to where then he'll finally have to go away.
I mean, if we're going to go all in, let's have the Young Bucks involved in it. Let's have Kenny Omega involved in it. I mean, they might as well.
Might as well. They're going to take over. But let's move on. Let's talk about the pay-per-view. Let's get our previews and predictions for Extreme Rules. And we'll try to go through it pretty quickly because we've spent a lot of time on Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
This is actually a match I didn't even know got booked, but I probably just wasn't paying enough attention. The Revival defending the Raw Tag Team titles against the Usos.
I mean, how can you even call this? The Revival, one week looks like they're going to treat them as serious competitors. The announced team puts them over as this great tag team, and then for weeks they're not even featured and no one mentions them whatsoever, and then we just get them thrown into a match with the Usos. There's all the Usy hot bullshit from months ago that I guess they're still talking about as if this just happened. So I don't know, the Usos.
It would make sense for them to just go that way because, yeah, they don't care about the titles. I'll go with the Revival just to be a little different, and because I feel like a lot of stuff here we're going to probably be similar on, so might as well try to be different on one little thing here.
Listen, the last couple pay-per-views, you've murdered me.
And oh, really?
The last Stomping Grounds, you got every match right. It's one of the first times we've ever either one of us has ever done a large, you know, not an NXT pay-per-view where you've gotten every one of them right. I've come to the point I just don't know what's going on anymore. I have no idea how they're booking these, and I guess I just don't get the vibe. But yeah, so the fact that you picked the Revival, of course they're going to go over. Move on.
Braun and Bobby Lashley, or I'm sorry, I don't know who that is. Bob Lash. Taking each other on in a last man standing match.
I got to go Braun on this. There's rumors that Braun's going to be, you know, getting a huge push soon. I hope. I don't know. Braun.
It's about time for his yearly push.
Yeah.
Drew Gulak against Tony Nese for the Cruiserweight Championship match, or for the Cruiserweight Champion.
I don't know. I don't even like picking this because I have no idea what's going on. It's your turn. Go ahead.
Drew Gulak. He's the new champion. Now, it is interesting because it is his hometown. He's a heel, and heels typically lose in their hometown. But he just won that title, and they book the Cruiserweight Championship a good deal different than the rest of the main card title. So I'm going to go with Gulak retaining.
I mean, Tony Nese did lose his title pretty quickly.
He won it at Mania.
Yeah. I mean, I think he only defended it once on a pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, I think it was a triple threat match, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'll go with Drew Gulak. I like him. Sure.
Ricochet and AJ for the U.S. Championship.
Another situation where you've got Ricochet, brand new title holder for the most part still, who has to fight against all the odds. I'm going to say that Ricochet retains. I'm not sure if he's going to pin AJ, if there's going to be some kind of shenanigans, but I'm going to say Ricochet retains.
I will go with that as well. It could be a DQ thing with Anderson and Gallows beating him up, or just a fluke flash pin could see happening too. Aleister Black and Cesaro, we were talking about this just a little bit ago. It makes sense that Aleister Black has to win this match. It's a shame because both of these guys could really use a pay-per-view win. But I'm going to stick with Aleister Black here.
Hey, real quick, who is Bray Wyatt fighting on this card?
Who's Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, who's Bray Wyatt fighting on this card?
Are you talking about that guy who has the cartoon show?
Yeah, there was this guy. Yeah, there was this guy that had like all this momentum apparently that was appearing every single week on the show, and people were buzzing about it. And even though I didn't care for it, a lot of people were interested. And I feel like maybe that he has to logically have a match on this show, doesn't he?
Nope.
Okay, moving on.
Daniel Bryan and Rowan defending the SmackDown Championship, Tag Team Championships against New Day and Heavy Machinery.
I don't know, man. Who do you got here? I think Rowan and Daniel are going to lose these titles. I just don't know to who.
I think that they're going to lose too. I don't think that they're going to be pinned, and that will be their kind of out for them to complain. I'm going to go with New Day here. And having them hold all the, well, not hold all the gold, but have a stable of champions.
You know, I really want to pick Heavy Machinery because they are not ready to hold those titles and they shouldn't. But
and that's every reason why they would put them on them.
And that's why I want to pick them, because it's like, of course they're going to put the titles on it because they don't give a shit about the tag titles. But I have to go with my better judgment. I think Daniel Bryan and Rowan are going to lose. The New Day is a better pick for that. And yeah, I got to go New Day as well.
Okay. Bayley defending against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in a handicap match. Nikki Cross says that if they win, they'll be co-champions. That's probably doubtful if that does happen. I'm going to go with Bayley retaining here, and
me
then
too.
Yeah.
I
think Alexa and Nikki break up.
Yeah, I think I would not be surprised if they went with Alexa getting the title here, because then they have the storyline of the co-champion, which in and of itself gives you TV. But I do think that we're going to see somebody help Bayley in this situation, even though it will be illegal and not a good babyface thing to do, but she is fighting against two people in a match and they can justify it. It will probably be Sasha Banks, or maybe they're just trolling us and they'll have somebody else come to her rescue. But I think they have to keep the title on Bayley here.
Yeah. Kofi versus Joe.
I got to go Kofi. Joe is not the guy. They're never going to pull the trigger on him as a world champion. I think he does great work. I think there's still tons of stories to have with Kofi. And I would not be surprised if Shane McMahon is the next in line, unfortunately, for SummerSlam.
I have from my notes that Samoa Joe is very good at professional wrestling, all aspects of it. And he is probably one of the best promos in the game today, and I love listening to it. The promo that he cut on SmackDown was great, but they're just never going to get behind him, and that's a shame. Even for a run as a heel champion, I don't think that they'll ever give him that opportunity. Kofi is who I'm picking here as well.
Okay.
No holds bar tag team match, which pretty much means Extreme Rules, which why they don't call it that, I don't know, because it's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Undertaker and Roman Reigns against Shane and Drew McIntyre.
I mean, I got to go with Roman and Undertaker.
Yeah. And Drew eats the pin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Samesies.
And then, I mean, we're both going with Seth and Becky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is the dumbest, like, the stipulation of this match. Last chance winners take all mixed tag team Extreme Rules match for both the Universal Championship and Raw Women's Championship. God, that's a mouthful. But this will be a match. Yeah.
It'll be a bad match. There's tons of talent on one side, right? And even though I hate saying that, I actually like Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin is a very talented guy.
In a lot of ways, I like Baron Corbin. I don't like the way they present him. I don't like the fact that he still dresses as a waiter at a chain restaurant. And I don't like necessarily the storyline that's involved here. I don't like him anywhere near the world championship. Let's put it that way. At this point, I just cannot see. I can see Lacey Evans taking the title off of Becky Lynch. I don't think she should, but I can see it happening. I just cannot fathom putting the world title, I'm sorry, the universal title on Baron Corbin at this point is like putting the universal title, world title, whatever it was on Jinder Mahal. In the fans'
pretty
eyes.
Pretty much.
In the fans' eyes, it will be absolutely be that. They can't do it. They just can't. Not with all this change and all this supposed understanding where their shortfalls were. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, I could have seen them doing that, but I can't see them doing it now.
No, not at all. All right, so that is our previews and predictions for Extreme Rules for this Sunday on pay-per-view and the WWE Network. This is just the speed bump in the way to SummerSlam. And it's once again another pay-per-view that just does not excite us. Stomping Grounds did not. Although there were some things that I liked about it. I know you were still pretty headstrong in being like, yeah, I didn't like that card.
No.
After it was all said and done. We'll see what this brings us. I think that Cesaro and Aleister Black is really the match that I'm looking forward to the most and will probably be the best match.
Yeah, it may very well be. Listen, there's AJ and Ricochet could be an amazing match.
Yeah, that's
match.
True. I forgot about that one.
You've got the Revival and the Usos. That match could be a barn burner, man. I mean, there's talent here.
I take back what I said. Yeah. I'm an asshole.
No, listen, there's just the build. That match I just mentioned had no build to it whatsoever. Yeah. Right? Heavy machinery being involved in the Daniel, you know, the Rowan and Brian versus New Day. Not necessary. And we know that so often none of this stuff really matters. It doesn't build anything. It doesn't change anything. Hopefully this was a pit stop before some real change building to SummerSlam, before some storylines can get reset and we can see some kind of momentum builds towards more cohesion, more long-term planning. And then we see the start of that at SummerSlam. I'm optimistic, cautiously, obviously. I have not loved Raw the last 2 weeks. Everyone, Paul Heyman's already fixed it. What show are you watching? This show is still not good. There was a couple cool things that have happened over the last couple weeks, but it can't. I wouldn't even say it was entertaining. It was still a slog. It was still painful to get through. SmackDown this week was pretty damn good. I liked a lot of the stuff that happened in SmackDown this week.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So that's a good thing. And you gotta, I'm not here to not like things. I want to like things. I'm just be as vocal as possible when I don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's what having a podcast is all about.
That's what it's vocal. All about. Exactly.
Anything else that you would like to touch on before we sign off here?
I don't think so, man. I think it's time to go.
It is time to go and never look back. thanks everyone once again for joining us. Make sure that you check out our social media. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Spots. We'll be live tweeting along to the pay-per-view and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MissSpots. You can listen to this podcast in one of many different wonderful fashions, such as our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com or simply MissSpots.com. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or pretty much wherever fine podcasts are found. And you can get this show every week, Thursdays, on the device of your choice, free of charge. We're also on Geek Life Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central at GeekLifeRadio.com. For Kevin, my name's Mike. We'll catch you next week. Try to enjoy Extreme Rules the best that you can. If you don't, I don't blame you. Good night. Good wrestling.